Think about the instructions of the spiritual master and to not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict that Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura, who, while explaining a verse in Bhagavad Gita, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life and substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home back to God. His first business should execute the order of the spiritual master. Thus, the disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly work and execute it. Vidura asked Maitreya, my dear Brahmana, why did the Prachetas meet Lord Shiva on the way? Please tell me how the meeting happened, how Lord Shiva became pleased with them, and how he instructed them. Certainly such talks are important, and I wish that you please be merciful upon me and describe them. Whenever there are important talks between a devotee and Lord, or between exalted devotees, one should be very curious to hear them. And at the meeting of Naimisharanya, where Suta Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to all the great sages, Suta Goswami was also asked about the talks between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. For the sages believe that the talks between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit must have been as important as the talks between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. As everyone is still eager to learn the subject of Bhagavad Gita in order to become perfectly enlightened, Vidura was similarly eager to learn from the great sage Maitreya about the talks between Lord Shiva and the Prachetas. The great sage Vidura continued, O best of the Brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities encaged within this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even the great sages who have no material attachments do not contact him, despite their always being absorbed in meditation to retain his personal contact. But since Lord Shiva does not incarnate himself unless there are some special reasons, it's very difficult for an ordinary person to contact him. However, Lord Shiva does ascend on a special occasion when he is ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, it is stated in the Padma Purana that Lord Shiva appeared as a Brahmana in the age of Kali. Preached to Maya Vada philosophy, which is nothing but a type of Buddhist philosophy, is stated in the Padma Purana, Maya Vada Sachastram Pachandam Baudam Pachate. Mayaiva vihitam devi kalao brahmana hortina. Lord Shiva, speaking to Parvati Devi, was told that he would spread Mayavada philosophy in the guise of a sannyasi brahmana just to eradicate this philosophy. This sannyasi was Shiva Shankaracharya. In order to overcome the effects of Buddhist philosophy and spread Vedanta philosophy, Shiva Shankaracharya had to make some compromise with Buddhist philosophy, and as such he preached the philosophy of monism for what was required at that time. Otherwise, there was no need for his preaching Mayavada philosophy. At the present moment, there is no need for Mayavada philosophy or Buddhist philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya rejected both of them. This Krishna consciousness movement is spreading the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and rejecting the philosophy of both classes of Mayavada. Strictly speaking, both Buddhist philosophy and Shankara's philosophy are about different types of Mayavada, dealing on the platform of material existence. Neither of these philosophies have spiritual significance. There is spiritual significance only after one accepts the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, which culminates in surrendering under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, people worship Lord Shiva for some material benefit, although they cannot see him personally, they derive great material profits by worshipping him. Translation, when all the sons of Prashnabhari left home to execute austerities, they met Lord Shiva, who had a great mercy, instructed them about the absolute truth. All the sons of Prashnabhari meditated upon the instructions, chanting and worshipping them with great care and attention. My dear Brahmana, why did the Prachetas meet Lord Shiva on the way? Please tell me how the meeting happened, how Lord Shiva became very pleased with them, and how he instructed them. Certainly such talks are important, and I wish that you would be merciful upon me and describe them. The great sage, Vidura, continued, O best of Brahmanas, it is very difficult for living entities in cage with this material body to have personal contact with Lord Shiva. Even great devout sages who have no material attachments do not contact him, despite their hours being absorbed in meditation to attain his personal contact. So, this is the story of Prachetas doing their austerity. So, as is described in this verse, they actually met Lord Shiva. Girisha. And it's through Lord Shiva that they learn how to execute their austerities. But, as I mentioned previously, what is the point of austerities? In themselves, they don't give any result, unless that is combined with worship of the Lord. And in the case of the Prachetas, they were simply trying to worship the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we should not think that this is simply a story to praise austerity for austerity's sake. And it was, the Prachetas were doing this for meditation on the Supreme Lord. And then we see here that Lord Shiva gave them advice on how to practice. He gave them instructions on what is the goal of their meditation, etc. And of course we know Lord Shiva is also a form of the Lord. He's also a devotee of the Lord. So his instructions are always very valuable. And as stated here, it's actually very rare to get the direct association of Lord Shiva. Of course, we can say that Krishna is very rare, or Vishnu is very rare, but even Lord Shiva is very rare to meet in person. He's a very, very great devotee. Of course, that also goes for very great devotees like Narada Muni and others. One doesn't meet them every day. So if Lord Shiva comes, one has to hear him very, very seriously. A very, very great occasion. So that is why these introductory verses are there, is to show the significance of Lord Shiva, a very, very great devotee. And as stated in this verse here, they actually took those words to heart, and they meditated on those instructions, and they worshiped those instructions very, very nicely. And as Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport here, the commenting on Vyavasatma Buddhi of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that this is, of course, a comment on the Bhagavad Gita verse that one should have Vyavasatmaka Buddhi, or unchanging, unwavering intelligence. So what type of intelligence is that? Obviously it's not material intelligence, because it's a spiritual subject. So the intelligence must be fixed upon the Supreme Lord, somehow or other. So then in relation to that, Vishwanath Chakravarti talks about taking the order of the spiritual master as one's life-sustaining medicine. Without that, following that order, one cannot survive. Just as if you have medicine, you don't take the medicine, then you die. One must follow that order very nicely. However, if we look at what the order is, according to Vishnu Chakravarti, the order is to worship the feet of Radha and Krishna. That's the order of the spiritual master. So in other words, one's goal has to be to please the Supreme Lord. That is actually the goal of the instructions of the Guru. Therefore one should take that order very seriously. And of course that's the reason one approaches a spiritual master, is not for other reasons. It is so one can engage in service, that's all. And it's not for other reasons. So therefore it's very logical that that should be the dedication of the disciple, that he has to serve that order and try to attain service for the Lord. The whole purpose of spiritual instruction is to do that. So that is ultimately the order of the Guru, to simply have persons engaged in devotional service so they can attain the Lord. So one has to take that order very, very seriously, and reject all other distractions. So in other words, everything that can bring one closer to service to the Lord, your service to the Lord is good, and everything that detracts from that is unfavorable. So one has to have that sort of intelligence in the practice of devotional service. So we see that the Prachetas were of that nature. They met Lord Shiva, and they got his mercy. you know, Lord Shiva was a great devotee of the Lord, and he was very merciful to them, which means they were actually quite qualified. Otherwise, why would Lord Shiva come and give them instructions? They were highly qualified to begin with. And then they took those instructions very nicely. They meditated on those instructions. As we see, his instructions are more sort of philosophical instructions about what is the ultimate truth, what is the highest goal. So they meditated upon that goal. And it was the previous verse that said that they performed austerity to understand the Supreme Lord, to realize the Supreme Lord. So therefore they used these instructions about the conclusion of who is supreme to attain that goal. So their austerities were simply a means to enhance their concentration on the Supreme Lord and understand the meaning of the Supreme Lord. It was not doing austerities for getting some mystic powers or for getting fame or whatever. It was simply for their spiritual advancement. So in that sense, it was favorable for their devotional development, and therefore it's acceptable as a practice of the devotee. And it was only austerity for austerity's sake, then not very useful at all. So they accepted Lord Shiva's instructions very nicely. And of course the whole subject of this chapter is the instructions of Lord Shiva, the things he taught them, which was their subject of meditation. And so in that section of his teachings, then he will define the difference between matter and spirit and who is actually Supreme Lord and what is the goal of life. They took those instructions very seriously, and then they achieved success. Yeah, he says they're not spirit. This is a material, so it's not spiritually significant. That's what he says here. Dealing on the platform of material existence. The similarity is that, of course, they say the material world is illusion. The difference is that Shankara's philosophy says that the absolute beyond material existence is Brahman, and Buddhist philosophy says beyond material existence, which is illusion, there's nothing. So in one sense, they're not talking about material existence at all, they're actually negating everything. No material existence. Material life is illusion. But the problem is that with these philosophies, if you try to practice them, they're impractical. So we end up in material existence. We can't actually escape from material existence simply by saying the world is illusion or whatever like that. So in other words, philosophies, false philosophies or philosophies of Dhyana are not so practical. Whereas the process of bhakti will actually give you proper results, and you will get out of the material world and go to the spiritual world. So in the sense, when he says this is a platform of material existence, I think he thinks the result is that you stay in the material world. Philosophically, they deny matter completely. It's illusion. Everything is illusion. All material existence is illusion. But, and practically speaking, how to get out of illusion is very, very difficult according to these processes. So therefore they stay in the material world. And that's what it means there. No, here he speaks about the Supreme Lord. He'll speak about the Supreme Lord here. And this next in this chapter.
The of English viewers are not always in view of the spiritual tradition, always grant material tradition also. Not Shiva, being Vaishnava, being Bhagavad Gita, Vaishnava being the spiritual tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Always in view, I mean, not necessarily always in view of the spiritual tradition, but really in spiritual tradition. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and he's famous for giving blessings like that. Of course, you see that some of the blessings are in a certain way so that ultimately it's for their advancement. So he blesses demons and ultimately they get punished because of their blessings or whatever like that. So he understands that actually his desires are not very good, so therefore he wants to teach them a lesson. Like Banasura with his 1,000 arms and whatever like that. So then ultimately he got defeated by Krishna. So he gets some benefit from that. That is not to say that the Supreme Lord doesn't give benefit also, because if you ask for things from the Supreme Lord, he will also give. He is the source of everything. Yeah? So as I said in the second canto, whether you have all desires or no desires, worship the Supreme Lord. He can give you liberation, and he can give you all material things also. So ultimately it all belongs to the Supreme Lord. So we should not think that Lord Shiva is better and that he can give benedictions. But as Bhagavad Gita mentions, by worshipping Devatas, people think that very quickly they can get their material desires fulfilled with minimum commitment. So therefore, that's why they're very, very popular. But also the Supreme Lord will also give. So it's not that only Devatas give and the Lord won't give, he will give. But then of course, the devotees don't really desire those things. So they may be unfavorable for them, so they may even reject them.
Sometimes you say not to write good grass, and then you say not to write the best to grass.
They have different names, just like Krishna has so many different names. Rudra, Shiva, whatever. He has 11 forms in the material world, and he has different names in those forms also. Ekadash Rudra, and there's 11 forms. So he has many, many different names.
Can Shiva be classified as a demigod? No way can get the question of Shiva. Brahma is opposed.
No, he's not generally opposed like that. So we call him a devata, he's actually not strictly, we cannot say that he's a jiva. If you're saying devata means jiva, no, he's not in that sense. He's actually Ishvara, Tattva. But he manifests significantly less qualities than Vishnu, and therefore we put him in a separate category.
He's eternal?
Yeah, eternal form. So he hasn't got a material body at all. The devatas have material bodies. Sometimes a jiva takes the role of Shiva also, in which case, he may have a material body. This is Brahma sometimes, the Supreme Lord. And then when Brahma is the Supreme Lord, then he doesn't have a material body. Or the jiva, he does have a material body. Sometimes, by the will of the Lord, a jiva can function as Lord Shiva in a particular universe.
And what happens with the
original Shiva?
The Jiva
takes it? It's eternal. Just like Krishna is eternally in the spiritual world, he expands. Someone who plays in the material world, whatever, Shiva can also expand.
How do you know that Shiva is?
Well, generally it's the Ishvara Shiva, generally. Sometimes Jivas may take the roles. Particularly he has 11 expansions in the material world, so some of those may be Jivas.
Yeah.